Hi everyone, and welcome to Let's Get Visible, a podcast for small business owners, helping them to grow, have a sustainable business, and get more visibility online. I'm Dawes Brown, and I'll be bringing you SEO and digital marketing tips, as well as interviews and conversations with other small business owners. So, let's get started. So today on the Let's Get Visible podcast, I'm joined by Shannon Madden. She's a mum, wife, connector, and creator. She started Creating Balance in 2016 after moving from Auckland to Queenstown. She spent 8 years in the ambulance service prior to this in various roles on and off the road, where she learnt the power of communication, presence, and empathy. She has travelled the world, had her fair share of trauma and personal crisis, and embraces her uniqueness. You can learn life through experience or through an institution. When you learn through experience, you also learn empathy and compassion for other people going through the same thing. You can feel their pain and know that sometimes, in order for people to heal, it can be as simple as being heard and to hold space for them to express their emotions and know that they are safe. Her pain has led her to her life's purpose, which is to help others access their magic and heal the wounds of their past so they are empowered and connected with themselves and the world around them. So welcome to the Let's Get Visible podcast, Shannon.
Yay! I was going to say good morning, but it's good afternoon. Lunchtime.
It is. Thank you for being part of this podcast today. Now, we recently connected via our weekly cuddle, which came about as a result of the naughty C word, which is COVID. I was really excited to connect with you because 2 weeks before lockdown happened here in Australia, I was actually in New Zealand running my SEO workshops, and this was in Auckland, Wellington, and Dunedin, and I absolutely loved each of those locations. So to have someone as part of our group that was from there was pretty awesome. And I'd mentioned in the introduction about you that you were actually originally from Auckland.
I am. I'm a Westie. So I grew up in Auckland, or Tamaki Makaurau in Māori. Uh-huh. Yes, born and bred up there, out in the sticks in a little place near the beach. Beautiful. Yeah, I had a great life being brought up in Auckland. But funny enough, I never felt connected there mm-hmm. like I do in Queenstown. So right. I always knew I wouldn't live there, and actually was surprised when I came back to New Zealand.
There you go. Now, in the introduction, I also mentioned a little bit about your background and moving into becoming a business owner. So can you expand a little bit more as to why you did decide to launch your own business?
Oh, several reasons.
Yeah.
Look, it was always my dream to be a paramedic.
Yep.
Probably from the age of 20. It was something I was always going to do, but I went overseas when I was about 21, mm-hmm. traveled the world, came back about 8 or 9 years later and joined the ambulance service. Mm-hmm. And I loved everything about it until I was bullied in the workplace. And that was when I moved into head office. Mm-hmm. And it really destroyed part of my soul in there. And now a lot of people won't even know the story because I hid it pretty well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I made the really hard decision of leaving a job I loved and a company I could have seen myself working for, you know, for the rest of my career.
Yeah.
But one day, one of those pivoting moments in your life, something sort of dawned on me that they didn't hold the same values as I did.
Right. Yep.
As a company, even though I loved my job. Mm-hmm. I knew I couldn't continue. So the next day I handed in my resignation, and that was the last day I worked for the ambulance service.
Wow.
And then we had to move to Queenstown. So in a way it was not an easy transition, but moving out of Auckland too helped with that. because I did plan on joining the ambulance service here. Mm-hmm. But when I got here, I realized that I needed to close that door.
Yes.
And funny enough, I actually had someone tell me after I left the ambulance service that I really needed to be working for myself because I was too open about my feedback with management.
Right.
So you really can't talk to us like that. And I was like, well, no, it's an open, honest conversation. I'm not going to hold back.
Yes.
And nothing I was saying was not the truth. Just people just didn't like to hear the truth. So I had a medical background, but after Nia was born, so she's 6 and a half now, mm-hmm. She had some breathing difficulties after about 8 weeks. So we had to call an ambulance a few times, but they couldn't find out what was wrong with her. And so all this medical knowledge I had and all these doctors and that, I couldn't find anything wrong with her. And so that's what led me to the holistic side of things.
Right. Yep.
So long and the short of that story was she got better, but then about a year after breastfeeding her, then I got sick. Chronic infections, chronic fatigue. Mm-hmm. No one could figure out what was wrong with me, but they kept pumping me full of antibiotics. Mm-hmm. So as you do, you start looking on Google.
Yes, Dr. Google.
Dr. Google.
Yep.
Well, I was just looking at, I'd found some answers with Nia through holistic medicine, doing a hair analysis on her to find out what was going on in her system. So for me, I was looking for some other answer as well. And I found this lady who was holding a workshop in Dunedin. Mm-hmm. And I went along and it was all about anxiety. And after sitting there for about 10 minutes, I was like, I've got anxiety.
Yeah.
This is the underlying cause of all my problems.
Yep.
From the bullying that I received in the ambulance service, but mm-hmm. also from trauma from 20, 30 years back in my life.
Yep.
And that turned my world around that day, just owning what I had and knowing that I could do something about it.
Love it.
And yeah, and that's what led to creating Balance, really, was just looking for answers and being able to empower myself, knowing that I could make the change, that I didn't necessarily need a doctor pumping me full of antibiotics because mm-hmm. I had symptoms. No one was looking for the cause of what was going on with me.
No, they don't. And so much of that resonates with me. I went through a similar experience when I was working at the digital marketing agency, and yeah, it was a result of, stress and anxiety. And I remember waking up one morning and I actually couldn't see out of my eyes. So I looked like, I can't even explain, but my entire face and all of the bits under my eyes had all puffed up. So I couldn't even see. And I remember being bedridden for an entire week and no one could tell me, what was wrong. And that's when I discovered the power of yin yoga and started to do a little bit more research, as you mentioned, around more of the holistic health, because each time I found I was going to see a doctor, as you said, they were treating the symptoms, but they weren't investigating or looking at the actual cause. So what's the root of this problem? Where is all of this stuff happening? So hearing you share that, sitting here and really, I guess, understanding from going through a similar experience in my own, I guess, world, how much of an impact that has, and it has an impact on other aspects of your life then as well too, not just work or family, but on everything.
Oh, absolutely. And there's so many people out there with the same story as us that have either, gone down the same route as us now of holistic medicine or yoga or whatever it is for them, meditation. But then there's also the other people out there that are still looking for answers, still trusting in their doctors that they're, going to fix them.
Yes.
And really taking the power away from your own decisions and your own intuition about what is actually going on with you.
Yep. And sometimes, I guess, the traditional methods of trying to fix things, which is, as you said, pumping your body with antibiotics or medication, it's still not solving like the core issue or the problem, is it? So you're kind of just putting a band-aid on it. You're putting a temporary fix, but it's not looking at, well, what's causing this? How do we have, you know, some of that long-term relief from all of these symptoms? So our bodies go into almost like a shutdown mode, but it's the way in which it's reacting that we need to listen to, is the lesson that I learned. So when my body is telling me, Dawes, it's time to stop because your hair is excessively falling out, which I've experienced as well, or
me too.
You can't see out of your eyes because they've blown up like balloons, there's a reason, you know, for this. And it's about looking at other alternatives and options, because that traditional method or way, yes, it has a place, but there's also other things that we can do, which I am grateful for discovering as well. So with creating balance, I guess, can you share a little bit about the way in which you work with your clients and a bit about the process and how that all works?
Oh, it changes on a daily basis.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Sure, your work does too.
It does.
The original thing I trained in was something called Atua healing, which is Māori energy healing. Oh. And how I discovered that was a friend had been to an Atua healer in Auckland. Mm-hmm. She was trying to get pregnant and had no success for like years and years and years, and went to a spiritual healer. Mm-hmm. And not only did she get pregnant, but like several other members of her family got pregnant as well.
Wow.
And so I was like, oh, I will need to know more, and I'm going to go study that. So I started with that, trained in that, qualified in that, and that's where my practice started. It sort of opened my eyes up to just a whole different field of, you want to call it medicine or healing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then I just started studying everything else along with that. So NLP, neurolinguistic mm-hmm. programming.
Yep.
Grief and loss therapy. I studied sports science when I went to university. Oh, lots of different things. There's a whole list of them. Yep. So now I sort of incorporate everything. I don't just follow one standard of practice. I see who comes in and see where my time's going to be best spent with them.
Love it. Yep.
So my main passion is grief and loss, mm-hmm. helping people through that. So a lot of that is talk therapy, mm-hmm. but it's also picking up on intuitively what's going on with them, looking back into their past of things that may have been triggers. Mm-hmm. Looking at words and language that they are using, that usually brings something up within them.
Yeah.
So that's sort of one side of it. And then the other side is using a massage table and incorporating the energy work, but also with microfascia release, which is very...
Tell me about that.
So fascia is all over your body. It mm-hmm. encases everything, all your muscles, all your organs and all the rest of it. So we just do gentle touch on the body, starting with the head. So you've got all these little electrical points all on your head. So it's bringing awareness and intention to those points. But the whole main concept of it is to get your body into a really relaxed state so that it can begin to self-heal. Because I'm a big believer in that you can heal yourself. I mean, I'm living proof. I didn't need anyone else to fix me but me. And so if you can get people into that state of trust, mm-hmm. it's usually trusting me, but also trusting themselves, and just complete relaxation to allow their body to take over and to heal. And it's not an overnight thing. Anyone that thinks that they're going to get fixed overnight is dreaming.
Yep.
Process. It's a journey. It's, you know, everything yep. takes time. If you've held trauma in your body for 20 years, you're not going to fix it overnight. It's going to take however long it needs to take for it to get out of your body and to heal.
And to heal.
So yeah, that's a bit about what it is.
I
never know what's going to happen until someone comes in the room.
Yeah, because I guess what you're doing is a bit of an analysis, and we've got so many crossovers. Like, what we do is completely different, But there is so many similarities because I feel the same way with my clients. Every single person that comes to me with their own background, experience, you know, what it is that they want to achieve as their goals. There is some trauma there too if they've worked with other digital, you know, marketers or agencies and they've not had a really good experience. And I know I'm giggling about it, but they're actually bringing all of that into, you know, our working relationship too. So it's usually not just a matter of, oh, let's look at, you know, your online presence, but it's also having a discussion with them about, well, what are your needs? What's your background? What's your experiences? And really doing that assessment on an individual basis. So you never really know what you're going to, you know, create or develop because no two people and no two businesses are identical ever. So everyone's coming to you, with a different, you know, issue or thing that they need or that they want fixed. But the other thing that I was smiling about when you spoke was that it doesn't happen overnight. And that's something that I also, you know, mention when I talk about my services, which is, again, really similar to what you said. You can't fix something, you know, instantly that has been there for you know, quite some time, or if you've just launched something, you're not going to see results overnight. And one of the quotes that I always say is, the day you plant the seed is not the day that you eat the fruit. And it's certainly not my quote, as in I didn't create it, but I saw it and went, oh my goodness, that really resonates with so many, because it is something that you're working on, but it's always a long-term thing. The other thing I loved that you said was, I don't need anyone else to fix me. Like, I can fix me. And I think that's, just a really, you know, moment where, you kind of look at it and go, it really does start with you. There are other people that can support you as you're going through that process, but it really does come down to an individual thing. You know, you can give someone the tools and you can give them the support, but ultimately at the end of the day, it's up to them whether they want to change or not.
Well, that's one of my questions right at the beginning is, are you willing to change and are you going to do the work as well? Because it doesn't just come from us as therapists.
Yeah.
You have to do the work on yourself. Yes. And if you're not willing to do it, and you can see it, and you'll be the same with your clients as well.
Yeah.
If you give someone something to do and they've either done it or they haven't.
Yes.
So you know who's going to continue to work with you and who isn't.
Absolutely, yes.
And there is no one size fits all. It'll be the same in your business. It's, But part of, you know, saying that you can fix yourself comes back to empowerment. And especially being woman, I think, you know, and you could put this across the board with many cultures and nationalities and whatnot. But we've taken the power away from people to make decisions about their own lives and about their own health, saying that the doctor is the only one that can tell you what is wrong with you. And if people can start taking their power back and start actually listening to their bodies, because our bodies do talk through pain, through trauma, they give us so many signs, we just don't listen.
No, I totally agree.
So take your, that's my biggest thing for people, is start taking your power back, start getting to know yourself, because a lot of us don't know ourselves. We don't know what we believe. We don't know what our values are. If you can start asking yourself some of the big questions, that helps you to heal. And it just, it brings power back to you.
It absolutely does. And I think it comes down to disconnect. Yeah, the disconnection, I think, is what you've touched on there, that we're so in the mode of just living the everyday life and I guess being controlled to a certain degree to have to meet these particular things each and every day. So there is that disconnect between ourselves and our bodies. And I think that's when we stop listening, when we're just in go mode. And I do not like this word at all, but that, you know, that hustle, that daily get up, grind, you know, go to work, come home, get the kids organized, get them to bed, maybe keep working some more, and really running ourselves into the ground, and then wondering, oh, why do I have a pain, you know, in my side or in my back, or why, as we said, you know, why is my hair falling out, or why have I got that pain in my toe? And it's because there's a disconnection between just the doing and feeling and recognizing what it is that our bodies are telling us.
Yeah, well, that was part of the reason too we moved from Auckland to Queenstown. We went from a population of 4 million to, well, right now, about 30,000.
Yeah.
You know, we wanted the slower pace. We didn't want to raise our child up in the busy lifestyle. We wanted to have more time as a family.
Yeah.
And, you know, we made a lot of conscious decisions before moving down here and like with the house that we brought and having just one vehicle to live that quieter lifestyle. And I can tell you, if we'd stayed in Auckland, I probably wouldn't be alive just with all the health issues and everything I've ended up having.
Yes.
I wouldn't have had that time to heal. I would have just had a heart attack or something. Like, my heart rate was through the roof. I had so many illnesses, and it was purely from stress and anxiety and, you know, unresolved trauma.
Yep.
So, yeah, we made that decision, and I'm so thankful because I'm probably at the healthiest I've ever been now.
Which is fantastic. 40. Yeah, fantastic. Now, when you think about your business and how it's come to be, hindsight can be a great thing, but is there anything that you would do differently and why?
There's probably a lot of things, you could use the S word, the should have done differently.
Yep.
Everything's a learning opportunity, isn't it?
It is.
I remember my first encounter with a someone to design my website.
Oh, yeah.
It was awful, awful. I actually took him to small claims court. That was such an awful experience. And then the second one, I probably took that energy over to the next one. She was terrible too. So in the end, I designed it myself. Still not sure what I've learned from that one.
Yep.
I guess it's understanding that your business will evolve, and that's okay. It's not necessarily going to be what it started out as.
Yes.
People will try and bring you down if they can see that you're successful. Mm-hmm. I don't think I can change anything about that one.
How do you cope with that?
Some days good, some days not so good.
Like, are there any things that you practice or do? Because I think when we do launch our businesses and, as you said, they become successful, or what people interpret as successful, I think perception is key here, in that what I necessarily think is a success may not be what someone else thinks is a success, but because that's their perception, and as you said, they may decide to, you know, bring some negative energy towards you or towards your business in that way. Were there any strategies or things that you used in order to ensure that you still kept going with what it is, you know, your life's purpose, as you said, which is to help and support other people? Anything that you can share with us that's been able to help you do that?
I'm very intuitive, so I can usually know what's going on with people. People can't lie to me because I can see right through them. But usually if it does affect me, I know that there's a trigger there, that they're triggering something within me that hasn't been healed.
Yes.
And yeah, perception's a funny thing, eh?
Because it is.
and my idea of success is totally different to other people's, of the making money and, oh, you've got so many clients. No, success to me is living the lifestyle I want, helping the people that I want with the balance, still achieving that balance with my family and myself.
It's the freedom to have those choices.
Yeah.
I think this is why you and I get along, because that's my idea of success. I've never been one to look at, being the biggest multi-billionaire and creating and scaling and having a massive agency or anything like that. To me, it's the freedom to be able to work with the people that are aligned with me, even from a client perspective, from the partnerships or collaborations. Those types of things equal success is being able to do what you love and being able to do it the way that you want to do it, rather than, you know, being shoved into a box and going, oh, well, digital marketer shouldn't be, you know, creating videos in their Lycra and dancing around to, you know, Let's Get Visible. Well, yeah, hells yeah, I can and I will, because this is my business. And having that option and going, that's okay if it's not your cup of tea. I don't need to be everybody's cup of tea. And I'm a little bit like you, quite intuitive. So before someone speaks, I can usually feel the energy that's coming from that. And then the words that they say will really cement, aha. So my gut was right. It did pick up that energy and kind of knew. But again, I think we all have had a dose of that idea of success and perception from other people. You know, it does have an impact on you. And being able to go, okay, well, that's something that is triggering me at the moment, and what is it that I haven't resolved within myself? Because another lesson, I guess, that I've learned through running my own business is I can only can control me. I can't control what other people think or say or do or any of those things. And so I've just got to do a good job of being able to stay true to what my vision is for my business, what my goals and what my mission is for my business and the clients that I work with. And I've learned that, you know, just trying to stay in my own lane has really helped. So blocking out all the noise and going, okay, well, coming back to me, what is it that I want to do and how am I going to do that, rather than necessarily taking on that energy, but also recognizing that, yes, there must be some triggers that I need to look at within myself to resolve so I can move forward. And the next time that happens, I'm not reacting to it.
Yeah, and when you're happy in yourself, nothing seems to bother you anyway, and you really don't even pay attention to what is going on in those people's world. It'll just be like,
like a field, like an energy field around you, isn't it? You create this kind of armor, this bubble where it just kind of repels after a while, but you have to acknowledge it. Because if you just kind of suppress it and walk away and try to keep going with stuff, it'll pop back up again. Whether that's in 6 months or 12 months or 2 years' time, if it's not resolved when you're feeling that trigger, then it's not going away, because it'll just be in the form of something else in the future.
Yeah, and you don't want to, you don't want to send that energy back at them either. You know, it's like when someone's gossiping about you, you don't want to then go and say, oh, so-and-so is about this as well.
Yes.
Because, you know, people show their true colors eventually. Just don't engage in that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It's not worth your time or your energy.
No.
And yeah. Again, if you know yourself and you're happy within yourself and who you are, it just won't even touch you.
No. And it's being able to walk away from those situations as well without needing to get closure. You know, sometimes I think we search for, like, when someone does something which does trigger us or impact us, we're always looking for a way of resolving that and closing that, because we need either, we feel like we maybe need an apology or we need a reason or we need something. But being able to go, I don't feel good being surrounded by this kind of energy, and I'm okay with, you know, accepting that this is not the place for me to be, and just moving forward.
Yeah, see, I look at those people in a funny way. I look at those people and then I probably try and analyze. I smile because that makes me feel good. Okay, here's an example. I'm trying to think of, we'll do an example that's not too personal.
Yeah.
I went into a car park at the gym, and it's on a one-way road. And I'd gone the long way to get into this car space because I could see it from the other side. And yeah. As I came in, this lady came from the other direction and wanting to go into this car space. I'm like, well, no, I've just gone round the long way. And she's like pointing at me at the finger. And I'm like, yeah. I'm right here. I'm going to go in. In the end, it was, I sort of said to myself, is this really worth it? Yeah. And I'm like, no. So I just went back, hopped into a little car space. And then she tried to get into the car space and she couldn't park her car in it and went and parked in a different one. I was just like, see, you could have stayed there, used up all that energy and got really angry just to get this car space.
Yeah.
Or you just let it go because it's really not important. You're still going to get into the gym.
Yeah.
Park your car. And then I had a good giggle because she couldn't get in it.
And this is the thing, it's the amount of energy that you use towards something and whether it's worth putting that energy there, which becomes negative energy and doesn't really serve anybody, yourself or anyone else, or looking at it and going, it's not worth it. And this could be maybe a sign, I believe, in the powers above, like the universe, and it's giving you those situations and examples because there is a lesson to be learned in that moment. So one of the things that I realize is that when I'm in that, you know, nonstop mode and I'm just go, 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 and I'm sure there's lots of people that experience this as well, when you're in a rush and trying to get from A to B and then from B to C, you seem to get all the red lights on the road. Yeah, you're traveling down and you're running late and you're trying to get to that next, you know, place because you're just go, go, go. And every single light, you're copying a red light. And that to me is a signal from way above, whatever it is that you believe in, saying doors, you slow need down. To slow down. And I am showing you physically with physical bits like a red light. I am stopping you in your tracks right now because whatever it is that you need to get to is actually not that critical or important for you to be going, you know, a million miles an hour. And so that's my little reminder that I get when I'm in that, you know, place and in that pace of, okay, that's them telling me I need to absolutely slow down. And like the example you shared with us, it's just giving you that moment to go, this is really not worth it. I just need to take a deep breath, recognize it for what it is. I'd rather use my energy towards something else than create, you know, this negative energy in this moment.
Yeah. So another way I look at it, and you can use this as a bit of a tool,
yeah,
is to stop and sort of think, if someone's being negative towards you, mm-hmm. is this person projecting onto you because they're having a bad day? It's actually got nothing to do with you.
It doesn't.
Are they reflecting something back to you that is triggering you?
Mm-hmm. Love it.
That's a really good tool for people. Is it projection or reflection? Is this something I should be noticing?
Yep.
To go, oh, actually, is that something I maybe do? Mm-hmm. Or is it just the person just having a bad day and they just gonna, you know, you're just gonna cop it if you're in their path for that day?
And when it is a trigger, and this is something that a business coach had shared with me. So when you are being triggered, it's usually because the other person is holding up a mirror to our face.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's triggering us because it's something within us already that we haven't resolved or healed or, you know, whatever it is that we've not done. And that's something we need to stop, as you said, and reflect and think about and to see whether it is them or it's actually us, because sometimes it is us. It's not the other person. It's just something's been presented right in our face, that reflection is there and we've just not addressed it. So I love that you've shared that, yeah, with us as well, because I truly believe that that's the case too.
Well, there's a wonderful guy called Matt Kahn, and I don't know if you've ever listened to him.
No.
YouTube, go have a look.
Okay.
He may appeal to you, he may not. At first I thought he was a bit creepy, but then I liked his messages.
Yeah.
So maybe just listen to him and don't look at him. But he says everyone here is here to help you.
Yes.
And so that's a wonderful way of looking at the world, is everyone here is here to help you. And that if people are not in the best space or projecting something onto you, you just look at them as in being in pain and say, I'm sorry for your pain. And then, you know, sort of move on.
I love that. Everyone is here to help you. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bitter way of looking at things, even if they're angry or
you
know, being a right dick.
Yeah. There's a reason. Yeah. There's absolutely a reason. Yep. Always. I believe that too. And no one is sent to you by accident. There's most definitely a purpose and a reason why they've, you know, re-entered your path, whether you've been connected in another life or in the past before, and they've kind of returned back in this life to, yeah, to again, to question things, to push you forward, to have whatever it is that you need in that moment. So I love that.
Ooh, now we're talking where we were in each other's lives.
Yes, I would be very interested to look at that and to see how we were connected quite possibly in the past. But I definitely believe in all that woo-woo stuff as lots of people call it. Yeah, and I absolutely love it, and it's made such a difference to my business and life in looking at things from, that alternative perspective, which is great.
Own your woo-woo.
Own your woo-woo. I love it. I love it.
Own your inner woo-woo. Yeah, we'll quote that one too.
Own your inner woo-woo. Now, we're going to move on to the topic of visibility, which is part of this podcast. And it's about the way in which we network and the way in which we get visibility for our businesses. What are some of the ways in which you've done this with your business, and what's helped you, do you feel, become more visible?
Oh, you might be asking the wrong person on this one. I'm not good at it. Here's an example. I've only just changed my Facebook profile picture for the first time in 10 years, so you can actually see my face.
Wow, I love it.
And people have always told me you need to put your face to your business. So yes. I'm not good at that. I believe in word of mouth.
Yes.
So that's where I get most of my clients from, mm-hmm. is referrals. And in terms of like the workshops and that I've hosted, I have done the marketing stuff, but that's not a strength of mine at all. I'm really not good at pushing myself. Maybe that's a flaw.
But this is the thing. So there's lots of different ways in which you can get visibility, and they're not all necessarily to do with the digital space as such when we initially launched. So this was an experience that I had as well, in that you have to build your presence when it comes to the online world. It doesn't just happen overnight. It's something that takes lots of time and effort in order to create. So having that word of mouth, and even running things like workshops, I know for me, really elevated my presence locally here in Wollongong, because it was an opportunity for people to connect and to meet you. And so when you've got that in-person option, you know, they can instantly see, this is someone I'd really love to work with, or no, again, you know, they may not be my cup of tea. So I think doing those things and building that connection within your groups and within in your communities happens well before the online stuff starts to really get you that visibility online, if that makes sense. So you need to have those in-person. Yeah, absolutely.
It was something I did, and I might be jumping ahead here with the naughty C word, but that was something I learned during COVID. Was all these Zoom meetings and that are great, but that's not me.
Yes.
I really feed off the personal connection, because I can feel, and I'm very intuitive. I miss that. It's like the screen drains me, and I've got nothing. I've got nothing left.
Yeah.
So that was a lesson I did learn. I've got a long ways to go on, social media and Facebook, about putting myself, me, this face forward.
Yes.
I'm very good at posting and I like to write, but you probably don't get the true essence of who I am through that. I'm not sure.
Yep. And we're all a work in progress when it comes to the online space, because it is something that changes regularly. So the landscape is never exactly the same. You could wake up tomorrow and there's an update or a change or a new release of something that you can start to do online. Like I remember when Instagram stories, you know, first came out, and posting on there rather than just posting in your feed. And that was a really tricky time because it's like, well, do I do it? Do I not do it? You know, then they introduce things like Instagram, you know, TV, so IGTV and all that kind of thing. So I think it's just a matter of finding what's right and what works for you, both personally and from a business perspective. Because if you're uncomfortable and it's really not your place or space to be in, that's going to come through. So the whole point of the online world is actually connection. It's to connect with people that you may not have the opportunity to physically meet. But I'm exactly like you. So when I worked for a digital marketing agency, everything was done online for 5 whole years. So when they closed down, for me, I saw this as an opportunity of doing business in the digital marketing area in a different way. That's why I've got a training room, you know, in my office, because I want that physical presence to really be able to connect with people in a different way than what you can, as you said, through Zoom calls, you know, through that online process. I mean, it's great that we've got the tools and the opportunity to do that, because it does break down location barriers, as we're doing today. I've got my little lanyard with my pink and black New Zealand writing on it, which is specifically for you, and only you and I can see it. But it's beautiful. Great. It is beautiful. But it's great that we can still have, you know, a beautiful connection on here. But you're right, like I feed off people's energy. So my energy comes from other people's energy. And when I'm in person and around them, I can really notice and see the difference within myself as well, and the way in which I deliver and present my content and information. So I totally hear you. I think it's great to have it, but there is a difference between being physically in person versus just predominantly being online. But out of all the you know, recent podcast recordings that I've done, word of mouth is huge. Like it's up there. It's one of those things that's been around for absolutely decades and decades. And it will never be something that I think will ever go away. So that's great that you can build and work on your online presence. But there are still some core things that help you to really build that business in the interim. And
word of mouth here is, because we're a small town, I can't remember the population of Wollongong, but you know, Queenstown only being 30,000 people,
yeah,
word of mouth is so effective, and you know, it could make or break you really.
Yes.
Here. And the other thing I was going to say about online presence is, it's funny because I can stand up in front of a room of people, no problems, but I just don't feel comfortable putting my face on Zoom. Isn't it funny?
There you go. There you go. Now, the other thing we touched on was the naughty C word. And now New Zealand is completely out of lockdown, or correct me if I'm wrong. Yep.
We are at level one, which means basically everything's gone back to normal, mm-hmm. apart from our borders still being closed.
Right.
Yes. So we went, what was it? I don't even know what day it is today. Monday night, I think. That's what when it happened.
Wonderful. Yeah. And there is there's a zero number now.
Yeah, which is fabulous. And hey, you know, everyone will look back on it now and it seems so long ago, but it was such a great time, really.
And but that's what I was going to ask. So do you feel that going through that experience, and we've never been through it, you know, before, did it help or hinder you? And you've just mentioned it was a good experience for you.
Yeah. Well, see, for us, we'd already slowed down our lives. So it wasn't like coming to an abrupt halt for us like it was for many people.
Yes.
You know, all of a sudden you're forced into the confinements of your home and, you know, you can walk and stuff. But yeah, just really slowing people down and taking a look at themselves. Whereas we'd already started to do that years ago, and a few of our friends were in the same position. So it wasn't a hard adjustment at all.
Yes.
I could still work from home with some of my work,
Yes.
My husband was still at work, so that was no different there. The only major difference was having near home.
Yes.
24/7. But we live in such a beautiful place in Queenstown. You could still go out for your rides and your walks, so that family time and the education time from us as parents was actually really lovely.
Yep.
The only thing I did miss was just some me time.
Yes.
But don't worry, I've made sure I've got plenty of that since I've been allowed out of the house.
Yeah.
Oh, and not being able to do the grocery shopping because my husband was working. He was the one that was allowed to do the grocery shopping.
Right.
That was about the only thing. Yeah, so for us, it was actually just a really lovely time. And we found a big change in our daughter in terms of confidence going back to school. And I can't even pinpoint why, but like on the first day of school, she went back and sung a song to her whole class.
Oh my goodness.
Who does that at 6 years old? Who does that ever? Unless you've got an amazing voice, you know?
Yeah.
But to have that confidence, even with boys snickering in the background, to be able to sing in front of all those people, it just, it still blows my mind. So yeah, her confidence has gone through the roof. So I don't know. Don't know why.
So her heart, it sounds to me, was just filled with the joy of maybe being able to reconnect with her school friends and being back in that environment. Maybe she missed that when she was home.
She definitely missed her friends. You know, that must have been the hardest time for kids. Not
yes.
so much. You know, it was hard for everyone, but for kids not being able to go to a playground and play.
Yes,
they could still ride their bikes. We could go for walks. We could go outside. But not understanding to the extent that we do, that personal connection and how important it is.
Yeah, my 8.5-year-old really struggled with not being able to go to school and having to be home and with mum, you know, 24/7 homeschooling and me trying to work. And
so long.
Yeah. And so when he was able to go, it was just like, quick, get my uniform, get my backpack, get my drink bottle. I'm out of here. Like, I cannot wait to go back, just because they do have that really, you know, special, yeah, connection and bond with the kids from school, and being around their friends makes such a difference to their mental health. So I noticed with him being home that, yeah, he was really down and really sad a lot of the time, because he just wanted to have that conversation with someone who wasn't, you know, mum's age,
yeah,
but someone who was his own age and that kind of thing. So
Did he do little messenger talks with his friends?
Yeah, look, it did for a little while. But again, I think is what you said, you know, it's just not the same and it's not enough. And everyone is kind of available and free at different times of the day and night. And so trying to coordinate things is, you know, it's difficult at that age. And I think they're a little bit young to really understand that online world and space. So I was quite aware of that. And making sure that, yeah, it didn't kind of get too, you know, too carried away. Yeah, because they're just so little. Plenty of time for that in the future. Plenty of time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, if you would like to get in contact and learn more about Shannon and her business, you can reach her a couple of different ways. That's on Facebook at Creating Balance. She's also on Instagram at Creating Balance, and you can also visit her at her website, which is creatingbalance.com. Now, I will be popping all of the links to the social media profiles below the podcast episode on the website. So there'll be lots of opportunities to reach out and connect on there. But just wanted to say thank you so much for your time today, Shannon, and sharing it on the Let's Get Visible podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure catching up and learning more about you, and hope that you've enjoyed your time with us as well.
Oh, thank you so much. And yeah, hopefully we see you soon in Queenstown.
Yeah, I can't wait.
It was lovely to have you here, and it's been so lovely getting to know you more today too. We obviously have so much in common.
We do, and we're similar age as well, which is another thing I didn't realise. So there you go.
Are you saying I look younger? That'd be great.
Yes, you do. You do. I didn't realise we were the same age. So there you go. Awesome. Thanks so much, Shannon. I'll chat to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much for listening today and making time to tune in. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please leave a review and some feedback. If you'd like to learn more about me or my services, you can find me at doreenbrown.com.au with links to social profiles so you can connect with me on there as well. Well, that's it from me today. So see you next time for the next installment of Let's Get Visible. I'll tell you no matter.